Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus, as always. True Wealth, or Coins Plus, is your full-service rare. You think I'd have that down by now, wouldn't you? Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. Always actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, rare coins, numismatics, portfolio building, 401ks, IRAs. We like to think of ourselves as the appropriate form of investment. Conservative investing is the way we look at it. And we have a pretty good track record, I think, with our people. Overall, folks, our people have done very well. We've had our recent, surge, if you want to call it that, in the markets. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. When I do my research, I am running into, a lot of bad information, and, I'm sorry to kind of lay it out there that way. But we have a problem. We have a huge problem. And what that problem is inflation. Now, inflation is, well, let me just also say, if you want to contact Coins Plus, it's 444-0044, toll free 877-TAP-COIN or through the website at coinsplus.com. We specialize in portfolio building. We are more than happy to work with you, to help you, to educate you, to do what we need to do to get you set up. Don't buy into the hype that's going on right now. Okay. I mean, or maybe you don't see it as hype. I see it as hype. I see Trump as a kind of a master manipulator, if you will. It's pretty freaky when you think about the fact that we have a conservative in office who is basically spending money faster than he's spending money faster than Obama did. Does that scare you? If it doesn't, it should. We are behaving very, very inappropriately financially. We're fiscally irresponsible is how I would put it. We're being extremely, extraordinarily fiscally irresponsible. We're not taking care of ourselves. We've got huge inflation, okay? Today in the Wall Street Journal, give me a sec here. I'll grab it. It says, here's how it goes. It says, from Coke to Clorox, inflation hits home. Okay. And in other words, it means Coca-Cola, I assume. That was a joke. But anyway, it goes on. It says U.S. companies are raising prices on everything from plane tickets to paint, passing on to customers higher costs for fuel, metal, and food after years of low inflation. Clorox company said it raised prices in the latest quarter and such products as cat litter and Coca-Cola reported higher prices for the quarter. Other goods makers as well as airlines also have announced price increases over the past week. Now, folks, you tell me why it costs so darn much for a plane ticket. I've yet to pick that one up. I grew up, when I was growing up, my dad owned a charter, was a member, or we'll say a partner, we'll call him, in a charter service. In a charter service is, where they own, planes, and we had a helicopter. Our helicopter was running nonstop, continuously doing emergency search and rescue, et cetera, et cetera. But, there's a certain basis of cost to run those. They're very expensive, no doubt. But planes keep figuring out they're running more. Okay, there's the number of flights that is, that are going are is mind-bogglingly increasing. The cost of you know, they keep reducing the number or increasing the number of seats per plane. They've reduced employees. They've reduced employee pay tremendously. I don't know if you remember years back. It's probably been, gosh, maybe 10 years when they fired everybody and made them all reapply for their jobs. So all these pilots that were making $160,000 a year and on call had to reapply for their jobs at $60,000 to $80,000 a year. I'm not sure I understand the cost of airfare and why it's gone up so darn much. That doesn't mean anything. I'm not an expert, just giving you my opinion. So the article goes on. It talks about Clorox has had to increase everything. The higher prices are effectively ended. Okay, the higher prices have effectively ended a long period of low inflation that led the Federal Reserve to keep short-term interest rates near zero for years. Now, I am in some ways like miraculously fortunate. I know I have a very good friend who was who's been for years the directors of Barclays leveraged finance, which basically was Donald Trump's bank. Okay, and that guy has told me hands down. Exactly. When Trump got elected, this is exactly what he said would happen. The way he described it was that there was going to be a what he said was, he called it loading the gun. He said what they do, and you may not be surprised, is when liberals are in office, they'll jack interest rates up. They get everything hammered. Why? Because conservatives tend to produce better numbers. So they'll jack interest rates up. They get everything set. So when a Democrat gets back in office, guess what they do? They lower interest rates back down to make the Democrats look good. And so the article goes on. It says, we think, okay, so we've talked about the Fed tried to keep short-term interest rates near zero for years. That alone caused I'll think of it in a minute, but anyway, it's false inflation. It's where the cost of goods is going up and yet interest rates are not. This has been building for quite some time. Okay, right now here we are in the midst of this situation. This is coming at us. This is very real. We have got debt that you cannot even believe. They're predicting, you know, in a certain number of years that we are going to be seeing our debt, our interest, the debt we owe, the interest that we owe exceeding our own budget. Okay, think about that. Our debt alone, the interest on our debt alone, I should say, will be over $1 trillion a year. The bottom line is, folks, America is bankrupt, okay? I'm gonna tell you straight up. America's bankrupt, and the Republicans could care less, okay? I touched on this last week. The U.S. is effectively bankrupt. It doesn't matter to the GOP. This is what's really eating me up, okay? The GOP has been evangelists of fiscal responsibility and scourges of deficit spending. I mean, they've been absolutely opposed to it. The whole time Obama was in office, that's all we heard. Now, we get in office, we being conservatives, I assume most of the listeners are. If you're not, I'm sorry for offending you, because I will. And we are spending money, folks, like it is going out of style. Trump's an interesting guy. He's a populist. But the problem is, our economic system is fundamentally trashed, okay? It's fundamentally broken from the core. It is nothing more than a great big endless credit card, okay? Obama was the first one to say, heck with a budget. No one before that had ever done that. We're sitting in a position now where nobody, and I mean nobody, is even trying to control the budget. What's going on is I don't know if it's a tit for tat situation. I don't know if it's conservatives saying, look, man, you liberals spent like crazy, so we're going to get even with you. I don't know what it is. But Republicans are, you know, they're glorying in their programs and their spending. And the national debt is now $21 trillion. What does that even mean? Do you even know what that means? I don't know what that means. We've gone to, you know, together on the show to what I call, to the website called usdebtclock.org. I'm going to go there real quick here. And it's absolutely like not real. I mean, legitimately not real. So our deficit, we're almost at 22 trillion. Folks, this thing is running like I've never, ever seen. Each and every one of us, folks, is buried, okay? We're buried in debt. We are launched in debt. I've done this before. I've talked about it. But I'm telling you, this is becoming a concern. Who's telling you about it? Nobody. You go to CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, what do they tell you? Oh, the economy's up. Oh, no, the Dow went down. Oh, no. So what do people care about? Oh, all they care about is their stock. All they care about, they've got their stock, their 401k, and they think it's up, okay? Well, a big crash is coming, okay? We had this wild ride in October. The market was all over the place. I mean, we had this thing all over the place. And even no matter what, we still ended up down, I mean, you know, sharply. Bond prices are also hitting double lows. I mean, the bottom line is, folks, right now, stocks, you know, rebounded Wednesday, but a second consecutive day of gains. They did nothing to ease the pain of the absolute shellacking that October marked with its wild swings that have literally tested investors' faith in the 9-year bull market. So if we're really looking at a 9-year bull market, does that go on forever? Even after the S&P 500 rallied nearly 3% over the month's final 2 days, 3%, woo-hoo, right? The index in October, the S&P 500, that is. Now, remember, these indexes are all phony, right? What are they? Let's do a little education, okay? The indexes are nothing more than, for example, S&P 500. They just pick the top 500 stocks for a certain period of time, and they use that to tell you what the rest of the stocks in the market are doing, okay? It's deceptive. It's a lie. It's not real. People are taking baths all over. I talk to people about their money every day. Now, I'll tell you, there's, you know, call in the evening after the radio show and talk to me if you've got, you know, a substantial investment or something you want to talk about. I've had people that, you know, want, here's a side note, jumping off the tracks. We advertise that we will travel to buy, okay? I had someone recently ask me to travel to Kettle Falls to buy a 1-ounce gold bracelet, okay? Now, of course, they're using regular ounces, not troy, not that it matters. But people need to understand the difference between a troy ounce and a regular ounce. A troy ounce, there's 28 grams to an ounce. Regular ounce, 31.15. But, you know, we won't travel for that. I just had to throw that in there. We don't, you know, our margins on gold are so small that you just can't do it, right? But when I'm looking at this usdebtclock.org, I mean, I don't even know where to point, where to look. But the debt liability per taxpayer is almost $1 million, okay? So each taxpayer owes $1 million. That's just liability based on Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, blah, blah, blah. We've got, if I go down this thing, they keep moving it around, so I'm not really, each time I look at it, it's a little bit different. Debt per family, $851,000. Personal debt per citizen, personal credit card debt. Listen to this. Credit card debt. I'm going to repeat it three times. Credit card debt, credit card debt, credit card debt per citizen, $58,677. Okay? Folks, why do I drill on this? I'm going to tell you why. It's simple to me. I've got all this information around me. I'm kind of bouncing around. I'll go back to the Wall Street Journal article, right? Let's do that. So I just read the part that said the higher prices have effectively ended a long period of low inflation that led the Federal Reserve to keep short-term interest rates near zero for years. They do that on purpose, right? So then what do we get? It says, we think 2019 will be more inflationary than we will have seen historically since the recession. Whatever that means. Kellogg Company Chief Executive Steve Callahan said in an interview Wednesday, he said, and okay, then this isn't his quote, but anyway, that was messed that up. It's a tricky moment for the U.S. economy right now, folks. This is me talking, not somebody else. Unemployment is supposedly at the lowest point in decades, right? Economic growth is supposedly strong, right? Okay. Inflation is supposedly near the Fed's 2% target rate, but price rises are picking up as pressure from labor shortages and tariffs intensify in a still robust economy. Okay. So our economy is looking good on paper, according to total new measures. This isn't real stuff. This is all a game. It really is. We live in a virtual reality now. It's a concern, a severe concern of mine. It's alternatively, other factors could offset such pressures, okay, including the stronger U.S. dollar, which makes imports cheaper. Now, when you talk about a stronger U.S. dollar, what are you really talking about? You're talking about a basket of currencies that they, you know, six or seven currencies that they compare one to the next. So they're forever moving one up and one down and one up and one down. Why? Because these global international bankers, they move money back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They make 2 to 4% on trillions of dollars. Nonstop. I mean, there's people out there, folks, that make amounts of money that you cannot even imagine. It's so far beyond anything you can even fathom. I mean, you know, guys that are worth billions, or at least, worst case, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars just by playing these games. So, you know, you've got tariffs intensify as the economy is supposedly doing well. Alternatively, other factors are offsetting the pressures, including the stronger dollar, etc. At some point, higher prices will damp the economy's growth. Listen to what I'm saying. So here's what's going on. We've got this artificially powerful, strong, healthy economy. But what's coming? One way or the other, they're always getting you. They're always getting you. Why? It's very, very simple. It's John Maynard Keynes' quote on inflation, where he basically says that it, I'm going to look it up here because I don't want to mess it up. There's people that actually get mad when I take time on the show to look stuff up. I'm sorry. Okay. I don't have everything processed. I don't have every show prepared for those of you who haven't figured it out. I wing it. When I come up on the radio, I don't have material. I wing it. all this stuff just coming off the top of my head. Is it good or bad? I don't know. You make it. You be the judge. I would love to when I was doing one show a week. Anyway, here it says, by a continuing, this is John Maynard Keynes. Who is Keynes? Keynesian economics. What's Keynesian economics? Keynesian economics is the economic system that we currently exist under, okay? Now, there's God's economics. What is God's economics? God's economics is called the Bible, okay? And what does he do? He says from the very beginning, gold is a divine item. It's from the birth of mankind on earth, he instantly introduces us to precious metals, doesn't he? Just right out of the box, boom. He introduces us to precious metals, and he says, that's money. He tells you where to go get it, which was kind of cool, in the land of Havilah, the low sandy land, right? Now, that's interesting, right? But I'm not going to get into that today. Why would the gold be in the low sandy land? And now we're finding it in the mountaintops. There's different theories on that. There are, of course, simple geologic theories of heat and pressure and things like that. There are also areas, mostly in South America. Folks, what's really interesting is the most profound things on Earth are found in South America, from pyramids, entire mountains that they're finding out are pyramids, incredible, incredible veins of gold, the mines of Ophir that Solomon sent his men, by boatload after boatload after boatload, which essentially led to the full development of North and South America because of people and shipwrecks and whatnot. The mines of Ophir were so packed with gold, it was unbelievable. That's how Solomon ended up being the richest man on earth, hands down, bar none. Okay, he owned the mines of Ophir. That's just the way it was. Okay, but and then early on, all the gold was found in the low sandy land. Now, they have gold that's produced by sulfur vents in Australia, where there's people that will actually go on tours. I had a friend who did it, and they drive around. He spent 3 weeks there out in the outback, and they drive around. Now, here's something that's weird, and I know that I'm the king of tangents, but why does the earth push rocks up? Have you ever thought of that? The earth pushes rocks up and out. Have you ever been a farmer? Have you ever, I grew up in Montana. We used to have to pick rock every year, pick more rock. That's why you see all these, you go to these third world countries and you'll see around people's land these big, huge walls of rock. Where did the rock come from? The earth just keeps pushing it up. Why would the earth push up heavy, heavy items? Wouldn't you think they'd sink down? I'm asking you hypothetically because I don't know the answer. I will tell you that the sulfur vents, the purest gold on earth comes from like Australia. The nuggets are incredibly pure and beautiful. And for years, they were a hot item. We sold a ton of them because they were trading at one time. They carried a premium, but there was a company that was packaging them up really nice, and they're just gorgeous. So a friend of mine goes on this tour where they drive around in these land or Range Rover Defenders, and they wait for these great big windstorms. And here's what happens. A big gold nugget pushes itself up through the earth. Again, don't know how. And then the wind blows, and the sand underneath the nugget stays. So you end up with this little mound, and on top of the mound, there's a gold nugget. The wind blows the rest of the sand around it away, and then they all run around and grab nuggets, and they go for walks and find stuff. And he got 3 weeks, 39 ounces of gold. That was a pretty good return. He told me not everybody does so well, and he paid to be there and all that. But in 3 weeks, he got 39 ounces of gold. To me, that explains the Bible in Genesis chapter 2, which again, you go straight from the creation of mankind and the earth and animals and everything. Boom, chapter 2. He talks about a couple of rivers that flow out where Eden was, which would be a pretty cool time to live. A lot of people say, hey, if you could go back to any time in history, where would you go? And I personally would be pre-flood. I want to see. You know, there's movies that come out a while ago. There was this one called Noah with Russell Crowe. Just rubbish. Because what they did is they combined stories from the Quran and everything else. But the thing they always miss is the fact that it had never rained. Okay? And mist came up from the earth to water everything. Okay? There's a guy, I think it's the Creation Institute or Genesis Institute. He's got a website. He's created the largest pumpkins on earth, the largest tomatoes on earth, and on it goes by using exact environments described in the Bible. Absolutely, obviously, the truth. So basically what happened is you had these massive tropical forests just with somehow mist coming up out of the earth. And then it had never rained. And you had this firmament above, which the Bible's very clear about. People will debate you on this, but it's a stupid argument. The Bible says clearly that God created a firmament above and a firmament below. Well, the firmament below, we know what that is. That's called water on the earth. 80% of the earth is covered with water. Well, the firmament above was obviously water itself. It was some kind of an ice shell. I would assume ice, since it would be way up where it was ice cold. And it would, technically, people argue it would magnify. It could have operated as the most phenomenal telescope you can imagine. The colors in the sky could have been phenomenally different. You could have seen the most magnificent, beautiful colors. Notice it was after the flood that they saw their first rainbow. So for some reason, before the flood, there was no rainbows. Now, I don't understand the science behind a rainbow, but I do understand that the earth changed drastically during the flood. You got to also remember that after the flood, the whole earth would have been just shifted and just covered in mud and muck, you know, of just pounding. I mean, things happen where the firmament was broken. Okay, something shattered it. I say meteorites shattered it. I personally go even as far as believing that the destruction of Rahab, as mentioned in the Bible, created these asteroids and comets that we see flying around. That's where the devastation took place on Mars. It blew Mars apart, which I think was very highly likely the habitation of Lucifer. That's why one side of the moon, I think it's the dark side, is just covered with craters. It just got shellacked, right? Because the moon faces the earth and it doesn't turn. The earth got plowed with meteorites, shattered through the firmament, and what happened is it caused cold air, outer space air, which is zero Kelvin, 273 degrees below zero, to hit animals and people or whatever. Instantly you're frozen. Boom, right? So fast you can't even stop. That's why we find woolly mammoths and different kinds of creatures that are just literally frozen standing up. Then after that, it was followed by the Ice Age, okay? Because things cooled down. We lost our tropics. And the earth began to cover with ice. It became very cold. It was probably a miserable time to live, to be honest with you. Because at the same time, you had tectonic plate shifting at a rate that you can't even fathom. Probably continuous earthquakes. There are stories, biblical stories, in as well as Jewish stories, of the earth opening up, sucking people in. They'd look down, they'd see water and fire. And don't ask me what was in what order or what. But basically, that was the earth rearranging itself. We have what's called Pangaea. We have evidence that there's a high likelihood that there was one massive, there's one huge chunk of earth, maybe a part of the earth that stuck up higher than the rest, and the rest was, I guess I was going to say water around it. Maybe not. Maybe there weren't oceans. I don't know. We don't know these things, okay? But basically, what happened was overnight, the earth changed. And then at that point, we had tectonic plate shifting and everything else. This would have created two reasons why gold is found in obscure places now. Number one, tectonic plate shifting. Massive chunks of land beyond anything you can fathom moving up and down. And et cetera, you know, and then as well as the possibilities that there would have been kingdoms that would have been, you know, made out of solid gold, very possibly before the Great Flood, because gold may have been much more readily available. People lived a lot longer. People lived 700, 800, 900 years. Think about that. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I mean, sure, the Bible tells us about Methuselah living for, you know, an incredible amount of time, but that applied to every man on earth. And it also said, you know, I mean, there's, man, I can get going. You know, you get into the apocryphal books of the Bible, you get into the stuff that was canonized out, you get into the stories of Adam and Eve and all these sorts of things. And you've got a crazy environment. I mean, you really have quite the situation going on where people have 900 years. I mean, I don't know what, you know, did men create incredible technology, or was the earth so pleasant and so relaxing that you didn't need to do anything? I mean, you know, even though maybe there was, you know, not a need for great shelter because of the temperatures, maybe man in general, you know, still built, because men do that because they're created in God's image and God creates. And maybe there were huge kingdoms that were just covered in gold. They were absolutely demolished and devastated by this ice firmament coming down and crashing into the earth, smashing everything. But like I said, some of the most phenomenal things are found in South America. So that was somehow a key part of Pangaea. Pangaea, if you unwind it and go backwards, guess where you end up at as the center? Right now, the center of the earth is where the Great Pyramid of Giza is. That means if you draw a line north and south, east and west, very close to there, the Temple of Abydos or something is about 40 or 60 miles north. That's the true center, but close enough. The Great Pyramid serves so many purposes that even as the earth unwound and these dry land mass spread itself out, it maintained the Great Pyramid at its center. There's theories that the Great Pyramid was built 2,500 years ago, you know, which would have been just post-flood, which is somewhat symbiotic with the theories of Babel. But I'm not, you know, it says God destroyed it. I'm not so sure. Jesus calls himself the capstone and the cornerstone. Why would they build a Great Pyramid with no capstone on it? Why? Some kind of a spiritual meaning, okay? The Great Pyramid of Giza has tremendous evidence that it might have been a nuclear reactor. There are stories that are from very legitimate sources that the Watchers came down and chose to enter into any of the women they chose on earth. They were large. They were beautiful. The women couldn't deny them. I don't know the whole story. But then the problem is when you get into the book of Enoch, okay, now I've talked multiple times about the fact that the book of Enoch is mentioned in our Bible. Now, when you look at the definition of how they canonized books of the Bible, the book of Enoch should be in there because it's mentioned, you know, by Jude and so on and so forth, and I won't get into that. But the real reason was there too much crazy prophecy, things that don't make sense, like talking about storehouses of snow, and we're like, that's stupid. We watch cumulus clouds, you know, you get all kinds of weather, and I won't get into the details because I'm not a specialist at it, but we actually watch snow form and we say, oh, that doesn't make sense. But it actually says there's angels that are in charge of the rain. There's angels in charge of the snow. There's angels in charge of the weather. This is what the Bible tells us. And especially the book of Enoch tells us this stuff, and the Catholics didn't like that when they were canonizing, and so they got rid of it all. So basically, to bounce all the way back, we've got Keynesian economics is where America, the greatest land, the greatest nation on the face of the planet, at least post-flood that we're aware of, for God knows what reason, adopted the most foolishly destructive form of economics possible, okay? John Maynard Keynes himself said, quote, he said, by a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens, okay? Think about that. By a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of their wealth of their citizens. By this method, they not only confiscate, but they confiscate arbitrarily. And while the process impoverishes many, it actually enriches some. So our economic system, the Federal Reserve System, is designed to make the rich filthy, filthy rich, and the rest of us have to spend our whole life scrambling to try to keep a dime together, okay? The sight of this arbitrary rearrangement of riches, let me see what I'm reading here. This is a little different than what I've read. 1919, this was written. It says, the sight of this arbitrary rearrangement of riches strikes not only at security, but at confidence in the equity of the existing distribution of wealth. Those to whom the system brings windfalls, in other words, those it makes rich, become profiteers who are the object of the hatred of the bourgeoisie. Okay? Now, what's going on here is we had Darwin, who said God is dead, basically. He was the first one to really say, you know, that everyone always believed in God at some level. You know, there was probably, there was endless debates over who God was and how involved he was. And, you know, people make bizarre claims about Thomas Jefferson's beliefs because he was a philosopher that wrote many different things over the years. And people who don't understand will take one specific quote from him and they'll make that his belief system. That was not Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson's faith evolved over time. He asked a lot of the right questions. He wanted to know, where is God? How's God work? You know, how complex is this system? I mean, God puts us here. We need to understand. There's a reason, you know. There was a movie that came out a while ago called The Principle that basically showed that the Earth was at the center of the universe. Now, you can imagine how that went over with evolutionists. Bam. Not good. The ones that really looked into the science of it and said, you know, this is true, their answer was, well, there is an infinite number of universes, and we just happened to be in a universe where our Earth is at the center, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So anyway, so it says they become profiteers who are the object of hatred of the bourgeoisie. So what I was saying is first we had Darwin that said God is dead. Then we had Karl Marx, who basically rose at a time when the profiteers took severe advantage of those working class. Okay, the bourgeoisie. The bourgeoisie was, you know, they were, I don't want to call them slave labor, but in some cases it was that bad. They worked in the factories and they made money, but they were never going to get rich. They lived in extreme poverty and the rich lived, you know, you've heard, I don't remember who the queen was that they told her that everyone was starving to death, and he said, well, let them eat. She said, let them eat cake. Like everybody had cake sitting around. So it says, to those whom the system brings windfalls become profiteers, who are the object of the hatred of the bourgeoisie, whom inflationism has impoverished not less than the proletariat. As the inflation proceeds, all permanent relations between debtors and creditors, which form the ultimate foundation of capitalism, become so utterly disordered as to be almost meaningless. One more time, it says, as inflation proceeds, all permanent relations between debtors and creditors, which form the ultimate foundation of capitalism, become so utterly disordered as to be almost meaningless. Now, that is, I don't know, I won't get into the whole economic theory there of the debtor and the creditor and all that, but it doesn't make sense. It just does not make sense. It's not accurate, and it's not true, and it's not right. But that's the system we live under. Folks, that's the bottom line. That's the system. So to continue in the Wall Street Journal article, so they talk about the Fed's 2% target rate, but price rises, you know, you talk about them picking up because of the pressure. Then it says, alternatively, other factors will or could offset such pressures, including the stronger U.S. dollar, which makes imports cheaper. Now, this is what I was talking about with inflation. You folks are in a cesspool of inflation. Donald J. Trump knows. I have to believe he either doesn't understand or he knows that he's got to pick his battles. People are intentionally uneducated in this. They do not learn anything about gold or the gold standard or what's worth what. And that, my friends, is a concern for sure, because inflation is alive and well. It says, at some point, you know, higher prices will damp the economy's growth. Investors worry that a pickup in inflation will prompt the Fed to raise interest rates more quickly to prevent the economy from overheating. And then it goes into Oreo cookie and Ritz cracker maker Mondelez International plans to raise prices in North America next year. Chief exec Dirk Van de Put said in an interview Monday that consumers and retailers in the region have become more amenable to paying more. And so essentially what we're faced with here, folks, is a simple, flat fact that inflation is alive and well. The big threat that I see coming, the big threat of all, is there's this article just goes on and on about consumer items rise in price. The consumer environment is strong, and the rising costs companies face are various, and it goes on and on. And it talks about airlines are paying about 40% more for jet fuel than they were a year ago. Trucking costs are up 7% annually in September as trucking companies passed along their own higher labor costs. Private sector wages and salaries in the September ended quarter rose 3.1% from a year earlier, the strongest gain since 2008. The Labor Department said Wednesday. Meanwhile, U.S. manufacturers are paying roughly 8% more for aluminum, 38% more for steel than a year ago as the metal producers adjust to tariffs the Trump administration levied on imports of those materials. Also, a 10% tariff the administration imposed on September on $200 billion worth of various goods, and on it goes. I'm not going to go deeper into this. I do want you to understand one thing. Trump's technique, excuse me, if you hear the newspaper flipping and flopping behind me, I'll try to get it out of my way because it's noisy. Trump's technique of imposing tariffs on steel on China is a train wreck, okay? First of all, does Trump have a big mouth? Absolutely. He is a loud mouth. Why, you know, why is he this way? I can't even begin to tell you, other than he wants to make sure that you know that he's keeping his promises that he made when he became president, okay? So where am I going with all this right now? Right now, what I am trying to tell you is we've talked about usdebtclock.org. We're running, folks, I cannot think of words. I cannot think of a way to transfer from my mind, my heart, and my knowledge to your mind, to your heart, and to your knowledge the level of inflation that we are facing, okay? Call me doom and gloom. I don't care. We are bankrupt. America is bankrupt, okay? The conservatives don't care. Under Republican fiscal stewardship. Analysts now believe the deficit will hit $1 trillion, you know, it'll get to the point by next year where we're going up $1 trillion as much as every 4 months. Why? Because Congress relaxed the sequester, eliminating its modest pressure for fiscal responsibility, and approved disaster relief without making any corresponding spending cuts. Legislators are inflating military outlays because Trump wants to be the toughest and the baddest. And, you know, I'm sorry if I'm breaking your heart, but Trump's a businessman, okay? He takes the system you give him and he makes it work robustly, okay? He's not going to go, I mean, what would happen if Trump got in office and said, we need to go back to the original system? Folks, we are bankrupt. There's no turning back now. If you had lived on credit your whole life and you were just buried, I mean, I've told you that each family has, $1 million per taxpayer in deficit. And I mean, I can go down this thing, and $58,000 in credit card per debt. And $851,000 in debt per family. And you start adding all this up, you and I, $1.7 million debt per taxpayer on our, just on the deficit alone, $178,000. I'd have to go through and add all these up. Our debt for each one of us is in the millions. I mean, and we're done. We're just blowing it. And what happens? You get the left versus right. Do we focus on what's right? No. Do we focus on anything constitutional? No. We are focusing on a bunch of rubbish, on are you a racist? Everybody's a racist. And are you black? Are you white? You know, what color are you? I mean, folks, frankly, who cares? I mean, I seriously could care less about what color your skin is. That has absolutely nothing to do with what we're facing right now. Then you get into people who are into the deep state. This thing is being run. This thing is not being run by you and I. This is not a government for the people, by the people, of the people. This is a government of the deep state. This is who we are. This is where we're going. And this is exactly what we're doing. And it's bad. Okay? So you've got to understand when we're, I mean, they've got us focused on stuff that is so far over our heads, we don't even know what we're looking at, okay? So, I mean, just to keep it simple, I don't think I did that, but let's just pretend I did. There's one simple way, and I mean, I've said it over and over and over. Coins Plus is, you know, we're full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We're the premier coin and precious metals dealer in the entire Northwest. Northwest Territorial Mint used to claim the same. They went bankrupt. Coins Plus pays top dollar for all types of rare coins, collections, accumulations, as well as collectible currency, scrap gold, jewelry, and quality diamonds. We offer the Northwest region one of the nation's finest and most complete rare coin and precious metals facilities nationwide. We employ... our employees possess the highest ratings in coins, jewelry, and diamond grading and evaluation. Fortunately, Coins Plus, based in Spokane, is a high-volume, low-margin precious metals dealer offering the most competitive precious metals pricing available nationwide. If you want to buy and invest in precious metals-based assets, I always say, I could say gold, but I'll just say precious metals-based assets, because I'll tell you something here in a minute. But you don't know how or have if you have gold to sell, save yourself the time, money, and misery at Coins Plus. We always pay you the full market value on your scrap gold, jewelry, quality diamonds, rare coins, etc. You know, invest well. Why let your hard-earned money sit in a bank or money market fund when precious metals are just poised to explode, right? The Federal Reserve is now inflating our money supply. Over 10% a year. A simple look at the increasing cost of food, housing, and energy costs should leave us wondering why the government continues to tell us that inflation is only 1 or 2% per year. No matter what their numbers say, we all know the spending power of our hard-earned dollars are dwindling. Earning 0.5% from your bank is not keeping up with real inflation. Gold and silver have increased in value nearly 20% per year over the previous decade while the dollar continues to lose value. So, I mean, protect your hard-earned dollar and just do what the Bible says and get precious metals-based assets. Now, for a while, I cooled off on that. I let this artificial Trump economy run, kicking back. You know, I can, there's so much information here I wish I had time to go over, but I never do. Sorry, but, you know, you got to watch out for investment companies. You got to watch, you know, you got to stop worrying about your money every day. We want you to invest in what the Bible says you need to be doing. And since we abandoned the gold standard in 71, the dollar's lost. Oh, just since 71, the dollar's lost well over 90% of its spending power, while gold has increased in value well over 3,000%. Many investment coins have grown by as much as 10,000% and more. Since 9/11, the dollar's lost over 75% of its spending power, while gold and silver have increased in value over 300%, closer to 400%. Numerous conservative experts predict precious metals investments to increase 300 to 500% over the next 3 to 5 years as the dollar continues heading toward its day of reckoning. Okay? So we'll just leave it at that. The bottom line is, folks, precious metals are here to stay. They've been here forever since the beginning of written human history. They are what God prescribes financially for you to use as money. He created them divinely. It's simple. I'm telling you right now, you mark my words. I have told you, I try to be honest with you. I tell you, I don't know when it's coming, but it is coming. Folks, as I look at what's going on right now, I have so much information here. I just wish I had about 4 hours to talk. I can't even stand it. It drives me nuts. I really wish I had time to do shows on the fundamentals and so on and so forth. Look, right now what's going on is the system is designed to deplete your wealth, okay? I don't care what you have. You think you're in the stock market and you're doing well, but you're not, are you? No, because what happens is it rises up and then it crashes and it rises up and it crashes. And what happens? I talk to these people each day. They bring in their portfolios and they're not making what they think they're making. They're not making what their broker tells them they're making. Do you think your broker really cares if you make money? Some of, you know, it'd be nice. They'd like to see it, but they don't care. Most brokers just want your money. If they get your money in a portfolio or what they call a book, they get paid residual income. I will plug in here. Do not touch an annuity. Do not touch an annuity. And one more time, do not touch an annuity. Don't do bankonyourself.com. Don't do any of this stuff. Now, real quick, running out of time. Long term, probably the most solid investment in coins has been silver dollars. And, you know, the key to that is usually the Carson Cities. We just bought a large portion of those certified nice old coins. The values in the markets are tremendously low. They're very conservative. They're very inexpensive. We've got a large quantity of them, probably, you know, I don't know, maybe 60 or 70, which that's a large quantity of nice certified coins. If you want to build a nice portfolio and you want to get some gold, some silver, some whatever, give us a call, 444-0044. I'm telling you right now, protect yourself. You've listened to me for years. Maybe you haven't. Don't wait. I mean, something's coming. I just tell you, something's coming. Inflation stinks. It's looking bad. It's looking rough. It's looking tough. I don't like what I see, but I see it coming. And I see secretly and unobserved is the key term to John Maynard Keynes' quote. You don't know you're losing your money. But if you go to usdebtclock.org and just look at that baby rack up, I have to shut it off. But that usdebtclock.org eats up so much memory on my computer that it crashes it because it's got all those numbers running. The bottom line, folks, is the fact that inflation is out of control. It is out of control. Something's coming. That's all I can tell you. Something is coming. What is the best way to hide inflation or an economic collapse? War. And who's a warmonger? Trump. Okay? We are in a tough spot. We've got the left has become the most extreme I've ever dreamt of. I mean, they're the most radical socialists. You've got, I don't remember the name of the guy, threatening to nuke Americans. And I mean, we've hit a point in this country of contention that's unbelievable. The problem is our government is far, far, far armed beyond, well beyond the citizenry. You know, we've seen what they did in Oregon and where they, you know, they can take shifts while people wait. Anyway, just keep it simple, folks. I am begging you, I'm telling you, please, while there's still time, you have nowhere to go with your money. Nowhere to go. Build a portfolio out of hard assets. They've lasted forever. They go up over time. If you want to pocket money, put it away and just let it sit in a safe zone. We can help you do that. Now, I can't guarantee you right now that any of it's going to run like crazy because everything's a little bit wild. I'm running out of time. I want to thank you for tuning in. Give us the Google 5-star rating, get a free silver dollar, and prove it to us. Take care. God bless. I love you. Bye-bye. Thank you.